appointed. We have a full committee: Senator Green, McGuire, Stevens, Huggins, Stedman, Bulikowski, and Wagner. We have two main topics today. First of all, we'll be dealing with the nominees for the Board of Fisheries, three personnel: Mr. Edenfelt, Mr. Dello, and Mr. Webster, in that order. And second, we will go to Senator Wagner's bill, Senate Bill 80. So with that, if we could have Mr. Edenfelt come forward, please. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on this sunshiny afternoon.
Thank you.
It's Mr. Larry Edenfelt, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Mr. Edenfelt, if you would put yourself on the record and any affiliations you think we need to be aware of, and we would like to hear about your background and your thoughts on Board of Fisheries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Larry Edenfelt. I'm from Juneau, and I've been appointed to a one-year term to fill out the remainder of the term from my old colleague, Rupe Andrews, who passed away a few weeks ago. I've lived in Juneau for 36 years. I'm a retired employee of the Department of Fish and Game, where I worked from 1963 to 1986. After that, I operated a charter fishing business for 10, 12 years. And since then, I've been fully retired.
Could you move the microphone just a little bit closer? There you go, please. Thank you.
For the last 10 years, I've been fully retired, and I participate in the Southeast Alaska Marine Recreational Fisheries. I'm a previous member of the Board of Fisheries from about 1992 to about 1997. I don't know what else you want to know in the way of introductory material. But
yeah, well, let's cut to the chase. In the fisheries business, somebody will either say you're a sports fisherman guy or you're a commercial fishing guy or both. Most don't get the title of both. So have you been labeled? Do you need to address that issue, or is it a non-issue in your mind?
I think most people, probably at least in Southeast Alaska, would recognize me as having a sports fishing interest. But I have lots of friends in the commercial fishery all over the state from having met them, from having served before. Most of my career was with the Division of Commercial Fisheries.
I just direct the members' attention to the Kenai sports fishing information we have. You might review that. So when you were with the department, what were the functional areas you worked in fish-wise, and what years was that in again?
From 1963 to 1980, I was employed by the Division of Commercial Fisheries. The last 5 years of that was as deputy director. And then I transferred to Sport Fish Division and Habitat Division, and I wound up my career with the Division of Boards. Most of my career was serving the Board of Fisheries, and before that, the Board of Fish and Game. Before there was a Division of Boards, each of the divisions provided staff to support the board process, and within the Division of Commercial Fisheries, I was that person. So I've probably been to more Board of Fisheries meetings than anyone else in the state over the last 40 years.
Right. So in that respect, what talents or what things do you have an appetite to work on that are challenges for the state contemporarily?
Well, I've always been a fan of the Board of Fisheries process, and I want to protect that process to the degree that I can. It's a process that has always belonged to the fishermen rather than to the bureaucrats, and you know, it's a citizen board, and I want to be able to preserve the maximum opportunity for public input in the decision making of the boards. It's been my area of interest for as long as I've been a part of the Department of Fish and Game, and after that as well as a member.
Others have questions for Senator Wagner.
Yeah, sir, I've got a couple of questions. First one, I'm from Cook Inlet area, and I'm sure you're familiar with the
over-escapement problem we've had for the past several years. And according to information, and I, sorry, I didn't receive it, I wanted to have it here for this meeting, but due to that fact, we've had a decrease in the size of the smolt, and we've also had a continual decrease in the number of smolt out-migrating each year. And from what I understand, and I'm sorry I don't have the figures, but from what I understand, the figures are now showing the probability of hardly any return come 2010. I'd just like to have you address that scenario and that situation from your aspect biologically, what you see the problem is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first of all, I was appointed to the board only a month ago, and I haven't been totally familiarized with the recent scientific information in Cook Inlet, except to the extent that was necessary to hold an emergency meeting earlier this week. So what's going on in the Kenai with regard to 2010, I'm not up to speed on, but I expect that we will get into that seriously next fall during the regular Cook Inlet cycle of meetings. As far, I haven't been briefed by the staff to the extent of what's going on in future years, only for what's been going on in 2007. So I'm sorry, I can't answer your question fully, but.
That was going to be another question. Monday, when you were at the meeting Monday, could you tell us a little bit about that meeting and what the outcome of it was?
Sure. There was a petition before the board to take up amending the Cook Inlet Management Plan, and it was viewed by the public as highly allocative, and I viewed it that way as well based on the public comments. All the commercial fishermen were in favor of it, all the sport fishermen were opposed, and it was my position that allocative issues are better addressed in cycle rather than at an emergency teleconference, since we didn't have the benefit of hearing from all of the public on the issue. So in my view, it wasn't an emergency. Other board members felt differently. I happened to vote on the prevailing side.
Thank you. One last question. I noticed, and I appreciate you supplying with this fact, and I don't know about the makeup of the board and the requirements on all the board members, but I do know commercial representatives have been dismissed from the board outhandedly for a violation, and you disclosed a violation here on a king crab pot. I assume that's a personal use king crab pot, and so I don't know whether there's something in, is there anything in statute, does anybody know, or it's just the fact that in the past, when a commercial fisherman had a violation, they were dismissed from the board because of that violation.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think that particular interpretation has been relaxed somewhat, because it's my understanding that two of the commercial fishermen now on the board have had past violations as well. If you want me to describe my own case, I will.
No, I think I pretty well understand the way you described it. I just wanted to ask that question. Thank you.
Other questions for Mr.
Chairman?
Yes, Senator Stevens.
It'd be good if we could hear a little bit about the violations, not leave it hanging there, because there are violations and there are violations, and I think yours falls in a pretty minimal category compared to some extremely large violations. So maybe just while we have an opportunity, let's just leave it out there. Maybe you should tell us what happened.
Thank you. I was the owner of a king crab pot last year, along with two other gentlemen. And before the season, I called the Fish and Wildlife Protection Office to see whether there should be one, two, or three names on the buoy, since we were sharing one pot. And the protection officer said, well, we would prefer that you have one name on the buoy, so that if there's a problem with the buoy itself or some other aspect, we can identify who the owner is. And so I put my name on the pot, and my two friends set the pot a few hours early, and I got a ticket for the violation I paid it and chastised my friends and moved on.
Choose your friends very carefully. Thank you, sir.
Is that an expensive lesson?
Yes, it was.
Is it?
And Mr. Chairman, was it also embarrassing for a former commissioner?
It was extremely embarrassing.
Senator Stedman?
Yes, I'm just kind of curious on the history of the board and, you know, with all your years of service to it, what kind of makeup historically it's had and where it's been lately and if you have any vision of where it's going.
Well, generally, there's been very dispersed geographic representation for the entire history of the board. When it was the Board of Fish and Game, there was more areas represented because there were 12 members. When the board split into a Board of Game and a Board of Fish, then they each became 7 members. It's been harder to have a representative from all of the areas and all of the fisheries, but it's been generally pretty well represented geographically. There's never been, for example, 4 members from one area or anything like that. As far as a split between users, there's been a back in the days when it was one board, a Board of Fish and Game, there was usually only one sport representative on the board, and the rest were mostly commercial or processing interests. And that was appropriate then because most of the board's activities were involved with regulating the commercial fishery. But as the sport fishery in the state developed and became more and more important, and then more sport representatives have been appointed to the board. In recent years, it's been, you know, roughly half of each. There's usually been a subsistence representative on the board as well the last several years. So I think it's been a fairly balanced process overall.
Okay. Where do you see the board going in the composition between sport and commercial fish with the direction in the fisheries?
Well, that's a hard question for me to answer. That would depend on, you know, the particular administration, I presume, as to how people are appointed. Personally, I'm satisfied with the board in its present form. I think it's a very excellent board. I have a good chairman, a good membership from several different geographic areas, and I'm happy with it. I'm going to be on the losing side of a lot of votes, and I'm going to be on the winning side of a lot of votes, and that's the way it goes. You win some, you lose some, you move on.
Okay. Could you give us a little background on some of the other boards and commissions that you may have actually been a member of over, you know, the last 20 years or so?
After I retired, I was a member of the board of the Territorial Sportsman, which is a local Juneau area outdoorsman-related club that sponsors the Salmon Derby here in the Juneau area each August. I was a co-chairman of that derby 2 years, 1989 and 1991. I was a member of the International Game Fish Association and was a Southeast Alaska representative for that probably 16, 17 years ago. I haven't been a member of any sport fishing organizations for many years now, mostly being retired until I was asked to fill out this one-year term.
Have you ever been a member of a policymaking board?
No, not really. I mean, the Territorial Sportsman is a large civic club here with, you know, a couple thousand members, I suppose. And I was on the board of that. But as far as making any policy that affected anything, the Board of Fisheries is the most important policy board that I've ever been on.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We received lots of email about the appointments, and let me just be very totally honest with you here. One says that we'll have a Board of Fish with your appointment, the two appointments here, a balance of 5-2 in favor of sport and charter interests. Voices of commercial fishermen in Alaska will continue to go unheard. Do you have any reaction to that? Is that a
I don't
fair
think that,
comment?
Yeah, I think it's an unfair comment.
And can you tell us
Well, the board...
Why we should.
At our meeting this week, for example, there were three general sport representatives, I'm counting myself in that group, and four that are more closely associated with the commercial fisheries. We've had this 4-3 split for some time now. As far as the other representatives, it's my understanding they're 1-1 roughly. So it might tip from 4-3 commercial to 4-3 sport based on the current appointees. What that means for commercial fishing, I don't think it's detrimental to commercial fishing at all. I mean, I have the support of many commercial fishermen from around the state, including from Kodiak and Alaska Peninsula. And so I don't think most commercial fishermen are afraid of having sport representatives on the board. I think what they appreciate is objective people on the board rather than a particular user group that the person may be from.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Edfeld, it's interesting. People that know you better than yourself sometimes when you get an opportunity to excel. How did you get a call at midnight saying, Larry, how would you like to be a part of? How did your name bubble up to the top?
Well, I didn't expect to be here by any stretch of the imagination, but when it became evident that Roop Andrews was resigning due to health reasons, and some friends of mine in the who were commercial fishermen started twisting my arm to put my name in to fill out his unexpired term, and I didn't particularly want to do that, especially if I had to do any lobbying to get the seat or anything like that. But they kept working on me, and then the local sport fishermen found out about it too, friends of Roop, who suggested that I throw my name in the hat. So at the last minute I did, and I was appointed at the last minute before the last board meeting.
So you actually applied?
I submitted an application.
And is there some fishing god out there that loves you, that anointed you?
I don't know what happened after the application.
Okay.
Senator Stevens. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I should have asked this earlier, but who do you consider your constituents, and how do you see yourself working on the board? I mean, from what I hear of your background in commercial fisheries and in sport fisheries, I would think you would be your constituency would be the entire industry as well as the sport fishing arm. I mean, I'm just trying to get at the issue of who you will be representing on the board.
Well, I hope I'm representing the fish and the process more than any particular one group. The only fishery I participate in is the Southeast Alaska Marine Recreational Fishery, and that comes up before the board every 3 years. If my term is going to be for 1 year, I won't even be around when that comes up next.
I'm just kind of curious on your thoughts of dealing with the red crab in the local area, where there's a lot of red crab and with a lot of personal use attention, and even my cousins go out there and fish sometimes a little aggressively. But when we look at the biomass as Fish and Game counts it, and they feel it's from time to time suppressed, and then there's an allocation out of the commercial quota into the personal use group here. I'm just kind of curious on what your thoughts are on handling the biomass, and if it's suppressed to a level where it impacts the commercial fishermen, if the sport guy should be impacted, or vice versa. Could you?
Sure, I can comment on that. There's been a commercial red crab fishery in Southeast Alaska for a long time, and Juneau is very lucky to have a piece of that resource very close by, and naturally people were attracted to that because they didn't have to go very far to catch them for personal use. And at first it was a very small fishery because not too many people were involved with it, but it became an important fishery to the commercial fishery, but it wasn't all of the commercial fishery. There were still many regions, many areas in southeast Alaska where they could catch red king crab. But as the population of Juneau discovered this pool of king crab right out their back door, there was more and more participation by the local people in it, and eventually it came, you know, it expanded to the degree where the commercial fishery had to be reduced in order to accommodate that local catch. And I think now it's a, you know, it's pretty tightly controlled by quota and allocation for the personal use fishery, and all of the remainder goes to the commercial fishery. So it hasn't been as much of a allocation battle in recent years since the board divvied it up several years ago.
So in a situation like this where you've got a pressure from commercial use, you've got a stock that's depressed to some level where the fish and game is reluctant to open it up for the commercial fishery, do you feel that a portion of that commercial fishery quota then should be taken out of that area and allocated to the personal use people, then which would then delay the buildup of the stock so we could have both a commercial fishery and a personal use fishery? Or how should that allocation?
Well, the stock has been healthy enough to have both fisheries most years. If the stock is so depressed that we can't have a commercial fishery on it, we shouldn't have a sport or a personal use fishery on it either. So, you know, if it's necessary to close commercial fishing to rebuild the stock, then the personal use fishery should also be closed.
So, if I'm hearing you correct, then you feel that if the biomass is at a point where fish and game is concerned about having a commercial fisheries, then they should also be, or the personal use area should be looked at to try to ensure that you know, doesn't negatively impact the biomass. And
correct.
And then I'm assuming in that position, then you would not be supportive of taking some allocation out of the commercial quota that was never opened, or allocation that was never opened because of the suppressed biomass, and moving it into the personal use group.
That's correct. Yeah, the allocation between it's my understanding that the allocation between the commercial fishery and the personal use fishery has already been made, and each fishery thereby has a cap. So if it's necessary to not have a fishery, then both fisheries should not operate, but if the fishery is healthy enough to have a fishery, then both fisheries should operate.
Senator Wagner.
I don't know quite how to ask this question, Larry. I know the answer. I want to hear from you. So relating that, say, to a salmon run, an escapement on a salmon escapement, say, in the Kenai River, and if the escapement's coming in under prediction and the commercial fleet is shut down and not allowed to fish at all, what would be your attitude toward the personal use dip net fishery and the sport fishery then? Should they be shut down at the same time until stocks show that they're going to be enough there to maintain the numbers necessary to for the spawners?
Well, you know, if there was an unexpected in-season shortage, the Department of Fish and Game would close both fisheries, you bet. Yeah.
Sorry, that's not what happened.
In order to achieve the minimum escapement goal, I can't imagine that only one fishery would be closed.
From time to time, that's not what happened in Kenai, because there's so much pressure on it politically. Here's where we have a problem. We've got a commercial fish division over here managing for commercial fishers. We got a sports fish in the river managing for sport fish, and then we got personal use fish. And if you got 5,000 people down there participating in those two fisheries, they don't want to disappoint those people and close it down, so they haven't in the past. So I'm hearing from you what I want to hear, that that's not right. I'm in favor of the fish. You know, the fish had to be maintained and protected to make sure that we have adequate supplies for the following years. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Larry, we're actually pretty harmless. So don't. I tell you what we're going to do today in the interest of time. Hear from each. We have three candidates. We're going to hear from each of those. You're welcome to stay there. The others are online, or you can go back and have a seat either, and then we'll take the public testimony.
Thank you.
So you'll probably hear from some people online about whether they like you or not, but that's more to follow on that.
Thank you.
Next, we have Mr. Howard Dello. Mr. Dello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Charlie Huggins here. Could you put yourself on the record and your affiliation and tell us about yourself and why you want to be on the board and why we should want you on the board?
Well, my name is Howard Dello. I'm a retired fish and game employee. I spent 21 years with the department, 15 years in the hatchery program, and 6 years with the boating access program out of Sport Fish Division. As far as seeking a position on the Board of Fish, I never applied. I received the phone call asking me to serve or whether I would be interested in serving. What I think I can bring to the board is an objective view on a lot of things. I don't have an agenda. I don't have what I would call an overly strong leaning one way or the other. Obviously, I'm in an area that is sport fish oriented, and I am also a sports fisherman myself. But my mother-in-law currently holds a set net permit, a Cook Inlet set net permit. My father-in-law, who is now deceased, also had a set net permit, which he sold shortly before his passing. And so I am familiar to some extent, at least, with both sides of the issue on a lot of things.
Okay, quick question for Mr. Dello. Mr. Dello, any violations or rubs with the legal system we should be aware of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is your wife aware of them? No, Howard, I'm just kidding with you. You and I know one another, and you're a good man. How about tell us about, you're also, as I recall, the chair of an advisory board in Mat-Su. Would you bring everybody up to speed on that?
Well, I was elected to the Mat Valley Fish and Game Advisory Committee about 3 years ago, and held actually the chair position for approximately the last year and a half. Right now, actually, when I received the nomination from the governor, it happened actually the morning of our last meeting for the 2006-2007 session. And so that evening, at the end of the meeting, I formally resigned both the chair position and my seat on the AC to avoid any potential possible conflict. But I've been involved with most aspects of what the advisory committee's been doing over the last 2 or 3 years up here, involving both game and fish. And as you may be well aware, this particular advisory committee is very active and very opinionated on a lot of things they think should be done.
Did you attend the latest fish board meeting?
I got in on the first part of it. I had some other conflicts, and then I managed to catch the crud that was going around the valley. But I did get in on the early part of it.
Right. So I would assume that based on where you live and some of your background, that people would label you as a sports fishing person. Is there anything you'd like to say to convince people or whatever the case may be and where your sentiments may or may not lie?
Well, I have heard that I have received the label of the sports fish guy, which actually kind of tickles me a little bit, I guess, that I'm already being tagged when a lot of people don't even know who I am. Being an old fish and game guy, I believe in the mission statement that the department has, and that is managing and taking care of the resource first, and then secondarily getting into allowing the opportunity for the maximum available use to the greatest number of the public. So my first concern is looking out for the resource. I appreciate actually the governor's phrase, abundance management. I think that's something that has been overlooked for quite a while in this state in a number of venues as far as managing for more animals. And instead of a tremendous amount of management on the use or opportunity to harvest. And I would kind of like to get the reorientation back to trying to get a few more critters out in the water and in the fields for that matter for people, because I think with an abundance of animals, especially fish, a lot of the squabbles and conflicts between the various user groups would be minimized.
Yeah, and Mr. Dello, do you have any special person that's in administration or in the legislature or some group that's sponsoring you for this job?
Not that I'm aware of, other than I received a call from the governor's office asking me if I would be willing to serve on the Board of Fish, which was tremendously humbling and flattering, I have to admit. That the folks in that office thought I was qualified and capable of doing this job. And that's why basically I agreed to do it, is I felt if the governor thought that I was a person she would like to see on the board, then I'd best do my best to be on the board.
Right. And you do you know the governor personally?
I have talked with her a few times. She's called me wants to ask about some information on a particular topic, but other than, I would say, more casual acquaintance than any kind of friendship sort of thing.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Howard, we've received a lot of emails on all the candidates, and the one thing that seems to pop out on all of them, I think underlines all of the comments people have, is a question of fairness, and I'd appreciate your addressing that. How would you be fair to commercial fisheries in your, if you are appointed to the board? Can you help us out there?
Well, first off, if you're referring to the same letters that I saw that I think were part of the packet given to the committee about me, I found it real interesting reading through the letters that the bulk of them appeared to be form letters, and I do not know, and as to my knowledge, have never met or spoken with any of the people who wrote the letters. And I have to admit to kind of getting a little bit of a chuckle out of the idea of being accused of being unfair and having a voting record that in one of the letters was referenced as the reason why I should not be confirmed. I have never sat on the Board of Fish. I do not have a voting record with the Board of Fish. And I don't know exactly where this unfair comment came from. I can back up just a bit. I write the outdoor column for the local newspaper up here. I'm not an employee of the paper, but they like the column, I guess. And occasionally in that column, I have pointed out some differences between commercial and sport fish interests and financial situations, economics, that sort of thing. And perhaps somebody viewed that as unfair, biased heavily towards sport fish. I can't judge their perception of what I wrote. All I did was lay out the facts as they exist and basically let the readers draw their own conclusion. And if that's where these comments are coming from, I can't control how people want to perceive a factual statement.
Thank you, Howard. And if I could follow up, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your comments, and I know it's hard to, we who are in politics receive these things all the time, and so you can't get upset about them, but still in all the underlying issue, it questions your fairness. How can you assure me that you will be fair in dealing with commercial fisheries issues?
Well, again, like I said, my first concern is for the resource. If there's a problem with the resource, then all of the fisheries are going to have to be managed appropriately to allow to the benefit of the resource. And I haven't singled anybody out. I don't have any agenda that I'm planning to shut down this group or that group. If there's a need for any kind of restriction, I would expect the department to restrict equally across the board. In our part of the world up here, we've had some real serious concerns with salmon returns. We've been herding for a number of years, and I see that actually as possibly one of the reasons the governor started talking about abundance management. We need to do some work on getting the fishery stocks in this northern district in a little better shape. But I don't know that that's going to be I don't see that as a fairness issue. I see that more as a resource management and, to some extent, protection issue. These statements of fairness, to be perfectly honest, I don't know where they're coming from, and I really don't know what they're referencing. So it's real hard for me to be able to say, I can be fair in this situation or I can be fair in that situation when I don't know what's being referenced.
No, I understand it, and thank you for being so forthcoming, Howard.
Senator Stedman?
Yes, I'd like to get a little history from you, Mr. Dello, if you've been on policymaking boards and that type of involvement before. Similar question to the previous fella. And then also, I would like a little more detail on the allocation issue between personal use and commercial when one of the two get suppressed, and should part of the allocation shift from one group to the other one?
No, I have never sat on any board of anything before. However, just so you know, in fairness, I've been nominated for the board of directors of the Upper Susitna Shooters Association, which is a local shooting club up in the Talkeetna area. And their election is this Friday evening, and there's probably a good chance I'll be voted onto the board. So that would actually be my first board affiliation formally. I agree with what Mr. Hetfeld said earlier to that same question about the allocation situation. If there's enough problem with the resource in numbers of fish that the managers feel that the commercial interests need to be closed, then I would agree that the personal use should also be closed. If it's bad enough that the returning stocks need some level of protection, then they have to be protected from all user groups.
Thank you.
Okay, other questions or comments for Mr. Senator Wagner?
Yeah, couple of questions. I think one of the places in Cook Inlet, as you know, that's the most visible and probably the most contentious commercial fishery in the state of Alaska. Is that a correct statement, would you say?
It's a very controversial fishery, yes.
Yeah. And I think some of the place where some of these comments are coming from, I'm reading one of those articles that was forwarded to us, let's see, August 28th from the paper. But you said in there, one of the things you said in there, it said it, you're talking about the Central District and it resulted in the interception of a good number of coho salmon destined for our valley rivers. How do you know that it resulted in the harvest of a number of coho salmon or red salmon or dog salmon, as far as that goes? Because they quit doing the scale samples years ago, and there's no way to identify those fish. And I agree with you, there's a problem there.
Well, I had some discussions recently with two different retired fish and game biologists that were involved in various aspects of Cook Inlet fisheries management. Both of them more oriented toward the northern district up here. And I asked about potential interception rates, what they knew from their work were legitimate interception rates. And from one individual I heard 70% on average, and from the other individual he couched it in a little bit different terms. He talked about the exploitation rates of the various fisheries in Cook Inlet, and he said on average there was probably about an 80% exploitation rate on the fish stocks. Now, this was a general statement. Understanding that in the past few years, the Northern District set netters have had very restricted fishing opportunities. Obviously, the fish getting into our rivers up here must have been caught somewhat further down the inlet, which would seem to indicate the Central District to the rate of somewhere between 70% and 80% of the returning stocks of the Northern District fish, using the information these gentlemen had given me. And so that's where a lot of this commentary has come from.
Are you aware of the management plan and how the fishery has been managed in the Central District over the last 5 years?
To an extent, yes. I'm not an expert on it, but yes.
All those years except last year, I have fished Cook Inlet in the Central District, and very seldom are we allowed inlet-wide fishery openings, and generally when we are, it's when there's very few fish available. And I'd really be hard-pressed to accept an interception rate of 70% to 80% of the fish heading for the Northern District. We just don't get to fish on those stocks that often out off the middle of the inlet. And so I find that a little bit disingenuous on those gentlemen's part to tell you that. But I wanted to ask you another question, and I think you realize this, we all realize this, but there's a finite number of fish, whether it's the Susitna drainage or Kenai drainage or Kasiloff or the streams on the west side of Cook Inlet, there's a finite number of fish, it seems, to satisfy an unlimited number of people. And no matter how many fish return, there's never going to be enough to satisfy everybody. How do you address this problem?
That is a very legitimate statement. It seems human nature is such that the more you have, the more you want. I think just trying to make a fair allocation between the different user groups, starting with the necessary, I'll use the term broodstock, to propagate the next generation of fish, that needs to be there first. And then from there we can back down to the, and I realize that's also the last thing that the managers usually are able to measure. But from there then we can back down to the various allocations to the various groups. I don't have any figures in mind. I don't know that there's been any specific problem for the most part between the average percentage catches that the commercial industry has taken versus what the sports fishermen use versus what the dip netters use, et cetera, et cetera. I think what we need to do is strive towards an abundance management program to try and get more fish out there so that as economics change, and as they are in this state, there would be sufficient fish, not as much as everybody wants, granted, but there would be sufficient fish that the commercial users can make a reasonable living. The sports fishermen have a reasonable opportunity to catch a fish. The personal use people have a reasonable opportunity to put some fish in the freezer. But primarily, the number of fish are there to propagate the next generation, hopefully, again, to use the governor's word, in abundance.
One last question. Are you aware of the study that the 3 years, I think it's a 4 year study, that Cook Inlet Aquaculture is currently undertaking up in the Susitna drainage?
Yes.
As far as use of the weirs?
Yes, I'm aware that they're working up here, yes.
Okay. I sure wish you and some of the other folks up there would give me some assistance, because I've been using a bunch of my capital money to fund those projects, so. But we're trying to get more fish, and I agree with you. We had to make them abundant as we can. But, you know, from the looks of the escapement goals and the escapement that have gone and the returns, I'm not so sure that the escapement's the total problem up there. You know, I think we got a water problem or maybe a predator problem or a combination of problems up there. But we've got to find out what the problem is so we can address that, and we're trying to do that.
I agree with you there. There's probably a lot more research that needs to be done to identify what some of the concerns are.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Dello. We're now going to go to Mr. Vince Webster. Mr. Webster, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Yes, it's Charlie Huggins here. Would you give us your full name and your affiliation and give us an overview of your qualifications and why you want to be on the board?
Yes, my name is Claude Vincent Webster. Most people know me as Vince. I believe you have a resume in your packet that spells out my background. If you have any questions on that later on, I'll answer them. As far as putting my name in the hat for getting on the board, I was actually approached by different user groups that asked me because of my history on the National Quijac Advisory Committee and how I've represented different user groups. They thought I'd be a good candidate for the Board of Fish. And they're the ones that convinced me to put my name in the hat. Why I graduated the board, I've been a set netter since 1984 in the Quijac. To my knowledge, there's never been a set netter on the Board of Fish. I've been involved and I've watched the Quijac River system go from the largest sockeye salmon run in the world to a stock of concern. That's really, if I have any agenda at all, that would be to bring the Quijac back from a stock of concern.
Yeah.
And I've been, I'm the facility and maintenance director for the Lake Fiscal District, and I'm directly involved with 15 villages from Port Oliver all the way to Icon Bay, and I'm well aware of the subsistence way of life and what happens when a stock disappears and how it impacts the local community. And that's about all I have to say, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Webster. You mentioned the Quijac and trying to the recovery of the stock there. How would you do that?
What we've done is when we've seen that the Quijac was declining, our advisory committee, with the help of Fishing Game and the board, came up and came with in-river special harvest areas and management plans for the Naknek, Igigig, Ugashik, to help prevent interception. We also put a restriction on sport fishing in the Iliamna Lake area, so that we felt that all user groups should contribute to conservation because it was a stock of concern.
Good. Thank you very much. Questions for Mr. Webster? Yes, Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Vince. Liesl McGuire, our family's had a lodge out there for many years that burned down in August. But so I've spent my life fishing on the rivers that you're talking about and in that area. And I guess it's just a broad question. What would you do, and it sounds like you could incorporate part of the answer to the last question, what would you do to not repeat what has happened in the last two decades to the Bristol Bay area and the fishery?
My personal opinion is in 1984, the department decided to manage the Quijac differently. They wanted to take the natural curve out of the return and put a more balanced return into the system, and they quadrupled the escapement goals that had been set for decades. And we had record number of returns for two cycles, and the third cycle, it flashed. The department has never officially said that they made a mistake, but they did reduce their escapement goals back down to where they used to be. And I believe that, you know, that that's a lesson that, that hopefully they've learned, and it won't happen again.
Thank you.
Mr. Webster, Charlie Huggins, what, I mean, you obviously are from the Bristol Bay area. How would you balance that and gain expertise for the, because your responsibility would be to the entire state?
Exactly. You know, when in areas that I'm not familiar with, I would fall on the department for scientific data and historical data to for any allocation issues as it's spelled out in statute, you know, how the board can determine allocation issues.
Other questions for Mr. Webster? Yeah, one last question, Mr. Webster. I mean, my assumption based on your description of yourself that those that are putting peoples into boxes, they would say you're a commercial fisherman. So what would you say to sports fishermen that maybe would make them feel more comfortable, or could you do that?
Well, I personally put in a proposal at the last Bristol Bay meeting to open up the Brooks Lake in Katmai National Park that had been closed for no biological reason. I believe, you know, that everybody has the right for the resource, and I believe from my representation on the Naknek-Wetak Advisory Committee, there's two guide members on that committee, and there's a sport fisherman on that committee, and they've always appointed me as co-chair to represent them at the board level in the past. So I believe that at least the local sport fishermen think that I am at least fair to all user groups.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Webster. And if you would just stand by, we're going to go now to the public for testimony, and we have 20 minutes. We're going to ask people as they testify to limit your testimony to 2 minutes, if you would, please. And our first person will be Mr. Rod Arno from the Alaska Outdoor Council.
Yep. Thank you, Senator Huggins. Rod Arno representing the Alaska Outdoor Council, which, you know, it's a statewide organization of over 12,000 members. Most of our membership do fish, either personal use, system sport, and we also have commercial fishermen among our membership. The Alaska Outdoor Council supports the confirmation of Howard Delo, and also we have no objection to the confirmations of Vince Webster and Larry Hetfeld. The Outdoor Council's number one goal in selections to the Board of Fisheries is that they are aware of the process, and these three gentlemen certainly are, with their time not only in the past on the Board of Fisheries, but also Howard Delo's and Vince Webster's participation in the advisory committee process, which we feel is important for getting people who are appointed to these boards up to speed. And with that, I won't take any more of your time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and thank you, Rod, very much for everything you do for the state and the sportsmen. Next, we'll go to Mr. Rick Geese in Anchorage.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, if you just put yourself on the record, and please limit your testimony to 2 minutes or less.
Sure. My name is Rick Geese. I'm the Executive Director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association in Soldotna. I'm a resident of Kenai. Speaking on behalf of the organization, we're a 501c3 fishery conservation organization. We have about 300 members, and we participate in the Board of Fish process. We support all three of the governor's nominations, Howard Delo, Vince Webster, and Larry Edfeld, to the Board of Fisheries. We believe each one brings certain experiences and qualifications that will make the board productive. We believe each one will approach issues in a fair and balanced manner, and will be good additions to the Board of Fisheries. With that, I'll end my comments.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Geese. And next, Mr. Rick Busey, also in Anchorage.
My name is Rick Busey. I'm chairman of Kenai River Sport Fishing, and in the interest of time, I'll just confirm what Mr. Geese had to say. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Busa. Next, we'll go to Mr. Bill Gifford in Soldotna.
Yeah, my name is Bill Gifford. I'm a sport fishing person, and I would just like to say that I support all three of these individuals for being on the Board of Fish. Obviously, they all have extensive experience in this, in their respective areas. Also, Mr. Hilo's experience as a in regards to angler access is extremely important to me as well. And again, in consideration of time, I'll lay my comments down.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gifford. Then next, Mr. Monty Roberts in Soldotna.
Hi, I'm Monty Roberts. I'm representing the Kenai River Professional Guide Association. And we've reviewed these candidates, and we support all three candidates as well.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Roberts. We appreciate it. And next, Mr. Ron Rainey.
Yes, for the record, my name is Ron Rainey. I'm speaking as an individual. I am the past chairman of Kenai River Sport Fishing, and I haven't personally interviewed the three candidates, but I've listened to their resumes today, and I do personally strongly support all three of them. I did hear Mr. Edfeldt in his presentation as a board member 2 days ago, and I felt that he stepped up and showed professionalism and the kind of board member we want, and so I strongly support him as well as the other two.
And thank you very much. Next, Mr. Gary Hollier.
My name is Gary Hollier. I reside in Soldotna, Alaska. I'm a Satnet commercial fisherman at Cook Inlet. Try to be short here. Board of Fish members should be fair and impartial, look at data, make bio-led, logical, and allocative decisions on that data. They shouldn't have a preconceived agenda. I personally talked to Mr. Webster. I like his ideas and his thoughts and theory. Feel he can be fair. Mr. Delo, I haven't had a conversation with, but after listening to him, the jury's out. I feel that Board of Fish members who have sport fish interests can be fair to all commercial fishermen in the state, except for Cook Inlet. I've been going to Board of Fish meetings for 25 years. That's what I've seen, so I hope that Mr. Delo will remember that when I meet him at the 208 Board of Fish meetings. I have some concerns about Mr. Edfeldt. Mr. Senator Wagner asked him about the over-escapement, and he said he didn't have that much to your committee here a few minutes ago, that much information about over-escapement. At the teleconference on Monday, he talked about 5 minutes about over-escapement. And in fact, in today's Peninsula Clarion, Edfeldt said arguments that over-escapement is biologically harmful to river systems seem overblown, adding that he had not seen any data showing that over-escapement leads to less fish. I feel Mr. Edfeldt is one member that has a preconceived agenda and at risk of not being able to talk to him at a 208 meeting because I feel he probably will get confirmed. I don't feel that, personally, I would not want him on the Board of Fish because with his comments at the last teleconference, I think that he has an agenda. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hollier. Next, Mr. Paul Shadra from Soldotna.
Yes, thank you. Members of the Senate Resource, my name is Paul Shadura. I'm the Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association. Today I would like to comment on conflicts of interest. Before you have three candidates who are looking for your acceptance as your authority to regulate fisheries within the state. With 60 legislators to balance decisions, the public process is somewhat assured that decisions that are made have a proper airing of all interests concerned before taking action. The seven members on this board, the legislature must be assured that individuals are impartial and willing to listen to the stakeholders and make balanced, unfettered decisions. The legislature is embroiled in drafting legislation that will strengthen the public's trust in making fair and impartial decisions. And let's look at these appointees before you. Just by the previous actions and histories of two of these individuals, you can be sure that the verdict would be guilty before they even started deliberation. Guilty to be proven innocent, and what is the crime? Being a commercial fisherman in Cook Inlet. Why do we need two extremely biased commercial sport interests in Cook Inlet? Why do we need three commercial sport guide interests on the board? Do the spots on a leopard change because the lighting changes? Where is the fairness of the representation for the other regions of the state? To be clear, KPFA does not support confirmation of Larry Edfeldt or Howard Dello. We do support Vince Webster as representative of all Alaska Northwest a line drawn between Anchorage, Kodiak, and Fairbanks. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And now, Mr. Greg Brush.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. My name is Greg Brush, for the record. I'm a father, a sport fisherman, and a Kenai River guide. I'm representing myself only today. I'd like to thank you first for this opportunity to speak in support of the governor's nominations to the Board of Fish, specifically Mr. Webster, Mr. Ed Felt, and Mr. Tito. Regardless of their backgrounds or affiliations or whatever, quote, label, unquote, you want to assign to them, what really matters to me personally is that they remain objective and they're capable of making decisions with the resource first. I haven't had the opportunity to meet any of these three individuals personally, but therefore I won't make any reference to them being fair or unfair, but I do look forward to working with them next winter at the 2008 Cook Inlet Board of Fish. And that's all I have to say right now. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Brush. That is the – are there any other personnel online that wish to testify?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have someone in Petersburg.
Mr. John Jensen.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Resource Committee. My name is John Jensen. I'm from Petersburg. I'm a commercial fisherman. I'm here and speak in favor of all three of the candidates before you. I know Vince Webster. I've dealt with Mr. Webster on several different issues, mostly Bristol Bay and my tenure on the Board of Fish, and I'm also a member of the Board of Fisheries, and came away with very high regards for Mr. Webster. He's very level-headed and knowledgeable on the issues that he worked on with us. Mr. Edfolk, I haven't known him very long. I've worked with him on one regulatory meeting and was very pleased to work with him. He has been involved with Board of Fish before, and to the best of my knowledge, was well-respected. He has a history with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which can be very useful. Mr. Delo, I have never met, and except for what I've read about him and his history and what he said to you folks on the Resource Committee today, I would ask you to promote his name forward, too. All the candidates have fish resource first in their interest, and they all spoke to a sustainable fishery, which is the job of the Board of Fisheries, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Jensen, and thanks for your service on the board. Next, we'll come to Juneau, to Mr. Steve Stevenstrup. Is that about right?
Twinstrup.
Sorry about that.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's Steve Twinstrup. I live in Kenai, Alaska, and I'm here to represent United Cook Inlet Drift Association and Cook Inlet. We're Cook Inlet drift fishermen. And listening to the testimony of the three board members, I've been in contact with Mr. Dello after the conversation with the governor, because in Cook Inlet we were not promised, but we were kind of ensured that there would be one of the days a commercial fishing representative on there. It's been since 1975 since we've had a representative on that Board of Fish for in the commercial interest. Mr. Deal, we sent you a letter dated on February 15th of 07. The letter states that from the AC, the chairman of the AC, Herodillo, historically the Central District drift fisheries has been fished according to the inaccurate pre-season forecast, and the fish in the center of the Cook Inlet, where Northern District fish stocks move through to protect depressed Northern District stocks, a conservation corridor may be needed to be established through the center of the Cook Inlet in the Central District during the periods of July 9th to July 25th. I'm here to tell you, if that does happen, there will not be a commercial fisheries in Cook Inlet. We cannot have this happen. This was a prearranged agenda for Mr. Dello to get on the Board of Fish. I'm very afraid of that. We went through numerous meetings in Cook Inlet, sometimes every year, on allocation issues. And when I see something like this here come in front of me, it's not going to be a fair and balanced board for us to go in front of next year. And I'm willing to go back to my constituents and my members of UCEDA, which were 520 or 585 drifters, and inform them this letter and what's going on with the Board of Fisheries. and willing to not participate in the Board of Fisheries next January. We've been participating in this board. We cannot have a fair hearing here. And I'm, you know, everything about Mr. Dell sounds really good. I've talked to him on the phone. Some things sound good. But this particular one paragraph that was voted unanimous on that on the advisory meeting is definitely detrimental to our fisheries. On Mr. Ed Felt on the on the meet or the Board of Fish hearing on Monday this week, Rupe Anders, I worked really well with Rupe Anders. He was a fine gentleman. I, you know, I'm going to miss him, and God rest his soul there. But the highly allocative fisheries that Mr. Edfeld was talking about, that he was afraid to get into. We went through an allocation battle back in 2005. We've been going through allocation battles every Board of Fish meeting for 20-some years now. We can handle allocation battles, but the allocation battle that we went through in 2005...
10 seconds.
Okay, the allocation battle we went through in 2005 was to allocate fish to the rivers, and we did that. This petition on Monday was to allow us harvesting the fish that were above and beyond the escapement goal. They've been putting in a 1.5, 1.6 million fish at a 1.1 million fish high end of the escapement. So we've been wasting those fish, and that's just one system in the Cook Inlet. So there's other systems, I have my reservation on that. So with that being said, you see that United Cook Inlet District will say cannot support these two candidates. We can support the third one from the Bay there.
Thank you, Steve, very much. And next we have Mel Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mel Morris, Chairman of the Board of Fisheries from Kodiak. And I'd like to speak in support of the three gentlemen that are before you. I don't know Mr. Dello or Dello. I have listened to him here today. I know he's a longtime Alaskan and fish and game employee that retired. And he's very articulate, a good writer. Hopefully he can be fair and that's really all we can ask for on a board. I don't think you can identify a person as a sport fish or a commercial fish representative. As Larry pointed out, you're a representative of the resource. And with Vince, I have observed him in a couple of board meetings, and I know he represents his constituents well at the advisory committee, and he speaks well, communicates with his peers, and he fishes both gear types, both set and drift. So I think he's got a perspective that can probably add some, perhaps a bit of liaison between the constituents and the board, and help us to get through some of the tough issues we'll be facing next cycle. Larry, I've known him for over 40 years. We were both biologists with the Department of Fish and Game. Have a lot of respect for him. He engages well. May not agree with him on all issues, but he speaks his piece. He's fair and certainly motivated to step in here and fill this this term. With that, I'll stop. Oh, one more thing I would say. We've lost three experienced board members this year. Andrews, Nelson, and Hiano. And there were certainly a core of that board who could work hard and understood procedure and policy. I think these three people that will be coming on the board, provided they're appointed, will do a lot to replace that loss of experience. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Morris. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mel, for your years of service to the to the state and the department, and recently as chairman of the board. I know it's time-consuming, and you've done a great job. Would you say, then, overall, that with your experience, that members of the board pretty much look to the resource and not and don't see themselves as a representative of either sport or commercial fishing? Is, has it been your experience that most people look at it fairly?
Senator Stevens, yes. And clearly, a forum such as this, it's difficult to have somebody speak for a couple of minutes and then suddenly you understand whether they're an advocate of an issue or not an advocate, or whether they're going to be fair. Clearly, all three people raised to the top as with certainly the people. There are people out there who believe they can do the job. I, in the 5 years that I've been on the board, I haven't seen a constituency or advocacy that anybody was trying to accomplish with the board. I think everybody listens and makes up their mind when the final deliberations are done. Certainly may understand other issues better, some issues better than others, but that doesn't mean that that's where what you'll support. We've all voted for various issues, sport fish, commercial, PU, whatever, you know, subsistence issues, and we're cognizant of our responsibilities.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you, Mr. Morris. We have a couple of moments remaining. It's the intention of the chair to move all three of the names for the following reasons. Number one, for those that are contesting these people and their nomination, I would encourage you to talk to the governor. These are her choices. And by virtue of that, and I've been consistent with this, and I think most of the people sitting around the table have, is that if the governor has requested people, unless there's an overriding legitimate reason, then my recommendation is to forward the names. And I've been to one Board of Fish meeting, and several years ago, and I can tell you it's a very emotionally charged room or complex, wherever it's held. And I remember going up and shaking a person's hand, never met in my life, said, "Where are you from?" "Matsu." And you would have thought that I was a lifelong enemy of the person just because where I originated from, because it's just that sort of emotionally charged piece of it. I will tell you that Howard, I say Dello, he says Dello, is a constituent of mine. I've talked to him several times at meetings, which he was either the chair or on the board. And but he is not a shy person. Matter of fact, I was working on a boat launch once upon a time, and he kind of shook his finger at me by virtue of his stance on that. So he's not shy about taking a stance, no matter whom he's talking to. And how he will do on the board, my assumption, he'll do about as well as everybody else in that respect. But it's my intention that all three of them get their opportunity. And we know that there will be some issues that people will not like their vote on, but that's just kind of the way it is, and that's why we have turnover, and that's why some people resign, and that's why the governor gets to nominate new people. So my encouragement to people that have some concern about who's going to be on the board, that they seek a seat on the board in the future and take the destiny of the fish in their own hands. So with that, we'll take a motion for the movement of the three names, unless there's objections to any of the three.
I'll make a motion that we move the names of Howard Dello, Larry Edfelt, and Claude Webster on for appointment to the Board of Fish.
Okay.
With individual recommendations.
Yeah, and the fact that we're doing this does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. Just to move the names forward for a vote. And with that, I apologize for the fact that we did not get to Senate Bill 80, and to Senator Wagner and John Iverson and John Norman, who are online, and others that are here. I did not anticipate the meeting going this long, nor it starting late, but you know how crunch schedules are. So with that, we're adjourned.